Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. My president is
don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. Thanks for tuning in to our week worth of news in just one setting. Yes, if this is your first time here, welcome on to the show. On this program, it is no longer a felony to knowingly transmit HIV in California. That was just signed by the governor. ESPN suspends anchor Jemele Hill for breaking social media rules. And the truth about Mike Pence's despicable NFL stunt. We might have a little commentary featuring Keith Olbermann. You know, I like to promote the resistance when I can on this show, so we may have to play a little Keith Olbermann today. And Trump signed an executive order directing federal agencies to revise their rules under the Affordable Care Act to allow trade associations and other groups to offer their own health plans. He is trying to undermine the Affordable Care Act. And the U.S. State Department announced that it will withdraw from the World Heritage Organization, or the UNESCO. And we have that this week in court and much more. But again, I want to welcome you on to the show. I'm your host, Jerome. We're here every Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to have, you know, a conversation with you. Now, if you're listening in our archives, or if you want to listen in the archives, our dialing number is 909-265-9189. For everyone online, I want to say, hey, you can hit 1 on your line if you want to join us. If not, that's cool, too. You could just, join in and I don't know what I was hesitating for. If not, you can just join in and hang out with us. So that's cool. You know, so, again, you're listening to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. Now, our first news story, we're going to do the first news story first, and then we'll get to some other news. Now, Oxford banned petroleum and diesel cars by 2035, creating the world's first zero emission zone. This is in England. So the zero emission zone would extend to the whole city center by 2035. That's according to a joint proposal by the Oxford City Council and Oxfordshire County Council. So this is in England. You may not be able to drive a gas car in England or in Oxford it has to be battery or whatever new technology will come out by 2035. No petroleum, no diesel cars. Now, Detroit rapper unleashed on President or on that guy, Dotard Trump, in a taped freestyle rap that aired during the BET Hip Hop Awards. While Eminem, who apparently filmed the rap last week in downtown Detroit in the parking garage, had been vocally against Trump since who knows how long. I was going to say forever. But he took a different approach this time. He raised his fist and drew a line in the sand, and he told any of his fans that support Trump, then he gave them the finger, just told them to get away from him. He also raised his fist for Colin Kaepernick, the NFL quarterback who protested, who began the taking a knee in protest in the NFL. And Kaepernick was among the first who noticed and went to Twitter to tell Eminem, "I appreciate you." Also, NBA star LeBron James said on Twitter, "Racism is the only thing he's fantastic for because that's how he gets his rock off. He's orange." That was a quote from Eminem's freestyle. So LeBron James kind of acknowledges Eminem in it. And also, you know, Keith Olbermann, and you know I think a lot of Keith Olbermann and his commentary, Keith Olbermann also said that that's the best political writing of the year, period, is what he posted on social media as well. So shout out and to anyone who has issues with Eminem and saying that they're taking issue with the rap or anything. You're missing the point if you don't like Eminem's rap based upon your preference in rap. He was making a statement. So the statement was heard, and he did a great job. So much respect to Eminem. Also, you know, speaking of Keith Olbermann, we are going to have something on Keith Olbermann later on in the show, so stay tuned. Much respect to Keith Olbermann as well. Now, U.S. officials have told the Associated Press on Thursday that the United States is pulling out the UN ESCO, which after repeated criticism of resolutions by the UN cultural agency that Washington sees as anti-Israel. So the U.S. stopped funding UNESCO, that's what they call it, after it voted to include Palestine as a member in 2001, but the State Department has maintained its office in at their Paris headquarters and sought to weigh in on policies behind the scenes. Now, the withdrawal was confirmed today by U.S. officials speaking on a condition of anonymity because they weren't authorized to speak publicly and to be publicly named in the discussion. Now, it comes as UNESCO is voting to choose a new director. The U.S. said it will seek to have a permanent observer status instead. It says the withdrawal will take effect on December 31st, 2018. That's not this December 31st. It takes a year. And the United States suspended its UNESCO's funding for 2011 over its vote to include Palestine. And it now owes about $550 million in back payments. So hopefully make your payments and bounce. This is me talking about the freedom of the people at the UN. So we are dropping out Palestine. Israel does not like Palestine being there. So apparently we take one nation, and they're pretty much, we're the only ones. So Israel has elected to also step aside out of this UN council. So here we go with the petty. Researchers suggest there could be a new remedy to ease your pain from a raspy voice. It's called moss, is what they're saying. Specifically, it's Icelandic moss, which is similar to the plant that grows throughout Europe. As such, it has such benefits known as Centera Icelanda. It's rich in many minerals, calcium, iodine, potassium, phosphorus, and various vitamins. So crucially, all of these have some sort of soothing protective properties for the throat and mucous membranes. The squishy lining in the mouth and throat is what they're saying, not me. The Icelandic moss also contains mucilage, a thick, sticky substance that helps to soothe by coating a sore throat. The plant helps to reduce pain by stopping germs from multiplying. That's according to the research. And experts also believe that it's safer than paracetamol, I don't know, which can be problematic and raise the risk of kidney, liver, and heart damage in children. Now, of adults and children with sore throats, and laryngitis, who took a combination of the Icelandic moss and allogens, old lozenges, I guess, 86% reported benefits. That's according to the World Health Organization's monograph of the plant. I'm hesitating over this because, again, this is nothing new. If you use iris sea moss, it will actually help your body. But, hey, this is all we're saying. Do your research. But this new study says that Icelandic moss, which is probably the same thing as a sea moss, if you want to go look those up, is saying that it helps a raspy voice. Equifax has taken down its customer help webpage amid concerns of malware linked to a site. The firm said that it will take down the link for credit report assistance out of an abundance of caution. So Equifax is still reeling from the discovery of a breach that compromised personal data of more than 145.5 million Americans and about 8,000 Canadians. Equifax also said a file containing names and birth dates of about 15.2 million, 2 million people in the UK was also accessed. So the firm is contacting nearly 700,000 of them because more serious information was compromised. I'm just doing the news. I'm not going to even comment on Equifax. But, you know, if you want to join in on the conversation, our number is 909-265-9189 for everyone on the line. Hey, and if you want to come in, hit 1 on your line and, you know, you can join in on the program. Sears in Canada said Tuesday that it plans to seek court approval to begin liquidation of all of its remaining stores and assets, a move that would see about 130 outlets close and put about 12,000 employees out of work. So Sears Canada, with the recommendations of its advisors and approvals from a monitor, this FTC Consulting Incorporated, they're seeking that order to commence liquidations. So they're saying they're winding down their businesses following this court approval. So Sears Canada said in a release, Sears Canada, that if it gets court approval, the process will begin, expected to liquidate sales at its stores and would start no earlier than October 19th and continue from 10 to 14 weeks. So anyone that's near Canada, you want to go there, Sears is liquidating in Canada. I'm sure that there's probably going to be a lot of eBay Canada, eBay products from Sears Canada. So I just wanted to put that out there. Just doing the news. Now, again, you're listening to Esprinet News. You can join us at 909-265-9189. This is where you get a week's worth of news in just one setting. And if this is your first time here, you know you can go check us out in the archives at espriradio.soulofsyracuse.com and listen to some of our past shows with my girl Lucy. In the words of my girl Lucy Abreu, there's always news you can use, so you can always go back and check us out in the archives. Now, the electric car maker, Tesla Incorporated, is recalling 11,000 Model X sports utility vehicles worldwide due to a faulty locking mechanism in the rear seats that raises the risk of seats falling forward in a crash. Now, the company, which is led by Elon Musk, said that only about 3% of the recalled vehicles may have an issue, which was detected in an internal test. It was no problems on the road. Tesla said it has not received reports of any issues or accidents relating to that problem, but you can take it back to get your car adjusted. So this is about 11,000 Model X sports utility vehicles. I can't remember if I know anybody with a Model X, but go get your car fixed. I'll just put that out there. And for anybody you know, make sure you tell them. Now, it is no longer a felony to knowingly transmit HIV in California. Now, the governor of California signed a bill to view the non-treatable virus like all other STDs. Now, the new bill was signed into law last Friday. It made the knowing transmission of HIV to a partner a misdemeanor crime rather than a felony. The law is meant to decriminalize HIV, or, sorry, destigmatize HIV, because I guess having a disease is not a crime technically. But just to bring down the stigma, the governor, Jerry Brown, has decriminalized it. Now, speaking of judges, because, you know, that's where I was going next, a Montana judge on Wednesday ordered the release of a mugshot of Republican Congressman Greg Gianforte, who they ordered it taken after he pled guilty to assaulting a reporter on the eve of a special election that he won. So they actually have released the mugshot. I think they were trying to cover it up, and they didn't want to release it. So through Freedom of Information, it is now released, if you want to see that mugshot. But this is a guy who, during the election or just before the election, the day before, he actually hit a reporter for asking him some questions about something he did. There you go, Republicans in Congress. Let this fit in with all of the other stories. But there you have it. Now, Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska is confronting Donald Trump over his attacks on the press by asking if he is recanting his oath of office. So you have one congressman who hits a journalist for asking him a question, and Donald Trump is apparently asking, saying they should review the licenses of, you know, news outlets that I guess don't view him favorably. So now you have the first senator to come out, who happens to be a Republican senator from Nebraska, asking him if he's recanting his oath of office. Donald Trump has not responded, but if he does, he will probably be under a candidate for impeachment based upon that, because he's supposed to protect the First Amendment as president when you're sworn in to protect the Constitution. So, hey, you know, that was interesting that it came from his party, to say the least, that now he has to watch out on both sides as he's attacking other people. Now, I know there's other stories out there, so if you want to call in, or for you guys on the line, if you want to hit one and join in, I'm going to skip some of those stories for time. But if there's something that you want to talk about or any questions that you have, you can always hit one, join the show, or put your question in the chat room, and I will bring it on the show. I'll address it there. Or you can send your comments to news@soulofsyracuse.com, and maybe we might, you know, read it on another show. Okay. Now, more than a half of the 1,166 police killings that occurred in 2015 were not officially documented, according to a new study. Now, Harvard researchers compared death certificates logged by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, to news reports of people killed by the police recorded in the Guardian newspaper's database. It's called The Counted, in case you want to go take a look at that. The media outlet documented 93% of these deaths. The CDC only reported about 45%. Now, the number of unreported deaths at the hands of police varied widely from state to state, but the death of people under 18, black people living in low-income areas, and people killed by something other than a gun were most likely to go unreported across the board. So in Harvard, that study their study's findings suggest that the media has kept a better track than the U.S. government bodies like the CDC and the Department of Justice. The author said there is no federal database that accurately collects data on all people killed by the police in the U.S., says Harvard study co-author Justin Fieldman. Both the DOJ and the CDC have databases, but this study proves that these are far more accurate. Underreporting of killings by police is a problem with a simple, direct cause, but it's, you know, it has, I guess, complicated legal consequences, so, you know, about what you put on a death certificate. So each state, even counties, have a different regulation governing death certificates, and beyond that, coroners and medical examiners actually have a lot of professional autonomy, said Fieldman, so they can probably still put it on there, although it may not be required to be put on there. So again, according to the study, they can change this, but the newspaper has a more accurate count of police killings than the CDC and the Justice Department. So in their study, they're suggesting that they combine, do a combination of both. The CDC should check media as well as death certificates. That's what they're saying on the CDC side. On the study side from Harvard. We'll check this out. I'll keep on top of the story and, bring you some updates in case the CDC or the Justice Department changes how they're collecting this data. Now, professional teams abandon Trump hotels amidst his ongoing conflict with athletes across multiple sports. So once popular amongst professional athletes, the Trump hotels seem to have been completely abandoned by traveling teams and they're saying it's his politics to blame, but that and some other stuff, I won't go into that. Now, the Washington Post reported that 16 of the 17 teams from America's four major sports leagues have stayed at Trump hotels in recent years, have confirmed that they will not be going there and will be going somewhere else when they're traveling on the road. So of the 123 teams asked, a total of 105 responded to the Post, and not a single one confirmed that they'll continue to stay at Trump properties. Some teams have cited logistical reasons, such as bus access, whereas the others told the Post it's Trump's politics that have them staying at new hotels. So some people want to be politically correct, and some people don't. So, hey, if you don't want to stay at a Trump hotel, don't stay there, because he's president and he's making money while he's president, which you're not supposed to do. Okay, now David Carrera, who's 50, is the vice president, University of Southern California. He's the vice president for the advancement of health and science development. He was ousted from his post after being accused of talking about sex with female coworkers. Now, of course, this is leading me into my sex story. So, hey, USC just lost another one. This is the second. I don't know if he was a vice president, the last guy, but this is the second one from USC to actually lose his job over sexual issue. Now, Rose McGowan, who was on the movie Charmed, she was in one of the Quentin Tarantino's Death Trap? I can't think of what it was called, but she was in a lot of other movies, by the way. I just don't know. But Rose McGowan, Twitter account was suspended after she alluded that to Harvey Weinstein's in a rapist tweet. She called his brother a POS, and that's a piece of something, and telling Ben Affleck to go F off. So Rose McGowan was suspended from Twitter on Wednesday night after several days of hitting out against Weinstein, his brother, and Ben Affleck. But Twitter actually came back and said it wasn't because of what she said about them. It was because she posted someone's personal phone number, and once she deleted that tweet, they actually reinstated her account. So as of now, her account was still active, but when it was suspended, she wrote that she wanted everybody to keep up the fight for her. But Twitter, I guess, went on the defensive and now is saying that they support women, women in whatever, domestic violence. I didn't even take their quote because it was full of garbage, so I try not to report too much garbage on the show. ESPN suspend anchor Jemele Hill for breaking social media rules is what they're saying. Now, Jemele Hill is the co-host of the 6 p.m. broadcast of SportsCenter. Now, she received backlash last month after her reference to Trump as a white supremacist in a series of tweets that referred to, I guess, his comments about his deadly white supremacist, the deadly white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. In this particular instance, the Dallas Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, stated that players who disrespect the flag would not play for his team, and if you don't stand for the flag, that you'll be benched, is what he said. And Hill suggested on Twitter that fans who disagree with Jones should boycott the team's advertisers and not buy the team's merchandise. Now, the Cowboys, who have a huge national following, obviously the league probably didn't like it or whatever, but she wrote in one of the series of tweets, "A lot of black and brown folks are Cowboys fans. What if they turn their backs on them?" Later on, she did clarify that she was not calling for NFL boycott, but Hill, you know, was suspended, and to her credit, her co-host, now I can't even think of his last name. Anyway, her co-host decided not to go on the air when she got suspended, so hopefully he took some time off as well, but glad that those guys stuck together. Now, I know I kind of messed up the story earlier, but, you know, I guess it was last month, Hill did call the president a white supremacist who was largely surrounding himself by other white supremacists, and ESPN got a little mad at her, tried to suspend her, but they didn't. So, much respect to Jemele Hill, and, you know, I think I talked about this on the last show, so we have to, you know, kind of stick up for her. So we don't, but she did take a chance in going out of there on her own, just like Colin Kaepernick. So Jemele Hill, I have much respect for her now. Wasn't really a big fan, but, hey, anybody who stands up for what's right, you just got to call it out. So good job, Jemele Hill. Time Inc. has announced that it has plans to sell its majority of its ownership of Essence Magazine. Now, the 47-year-old lifestyle monthly for African-American women and one of the most successful publications amongst American magazines, Time is now going to get rid of it. Now, according to a story reported in the Wall Street Journal, Time Inc. intends to remain its minority share stake in Essence after it's been sold, but they don't want to run Essence. Now, they should have asked me before. I could have told them they couldn't run Essence, but that would have just been me. So I don't know if I did that story before, but I wanted to make sure I talked about it. Time Magazine is trying to relinquish their control of Essence Magazine. Sell it back to the people you bought it from at a discount because, you know, technically they shouldn't have, you know, taken it from them anyway. Amazon is looking into devices that could let delivery drivers put packages in the trunk of your car or even inside your home. So a new report has been put out that Amazon is looking into creative ways to securely deliver packages to your home in an effort to, you know, I guess, outwit what they call porch pirates in a new report. Now, this includes ways to access your car and your home. Now, I don't know about this. I think Walmart wanted to, on the show, I guess a couple of shows ago, Walmart announced that they wanted to start a new service that they were going to actually deliver groceries and then put it in your refrigerator and your cabinet so they would have to have access to get into your house. I don't think with the data breach story that I just read earlier, I don't think you want Walmart or Amazon coming into your house when you're not home. Or, I'm sorry, I don't think you want them coming in your house. That is just me. So, hey, Amazon, if you're into that, they want to be able to open up your car and put your packages in your trunk. All right. Now, by 2,100, more than 50% of the land used to grow coffee will no longer be arable. Now, Ethiopia, who is the sixth largest producer of coffee, could lose 60% of its production by 2050. The problem is that all coffee growers are having this problem, and they believe that the land will not be palatable or suitable for people to grow coffee in. So we're going to see how you folks who are addicted to coffee is going to turn out, but hey, this apparently is a problem. Now, defendant Quentin Tills, who's 29, has pled not guilty to capital murder in the death of a 19-year-old Jessica Chambers on December 6th in 2014 in Cortland, Mississippi. Chambers, whose authority said was found with burns on 93% of her body, died hours later at a Memphis hospital, right? Or at Memphis Hospital, not in Memphis, but this is in Mississippi. Prosecutor says that Tills set Chambers and her car on fire in a rural back road and left her to die. But defense attorneys in today's case, Darla Palmer, maintained in her opening statements that Tillis has been falsely accused and that Chambers' dying statement to firefighters showed that the killer was somebody else. So in her last breath while she was talking to firefighters, she said Eric did it, and they're still prosecuting and sent this guy, Quentin Tillis, number 29, sent him to jail. So Ben Chambers, Jessica's father, was in court to listen to the testimony during trial, and apparently the family is pretty distraught. But if you knew from the fact that the person that was dying told you on their deathbed one person did it, but you're blaming somebody else, I think you should let them go. But I don't have to drop the beat on if this was a black or white case. But I guess, Commish, if you're out there, I'll save this for next show. So I won't do it today. But it's blaringly obvious why this guy, Quentin, was actually prosecuted. And it's in Mississippi. So apply stereotypes there. All right, I want to remind you, you listen to EspriNet News on Espri Radio. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. We're here every Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to join in, hey to everyone on the line. Cousin Adria, how are you, girl? And Brother Sean from Syracuse, I see you out there. Kai, the commiss, I'm not sure if that's your number, but commiss, if you're out there, if you want to come in, you can hit one on the line. And I want to say hey to Kai in Georgia. Hey to Dacia. Hey, guys. All right. Now, a sheriff in Louisiana has been rallying against the state's new prison release program, saying that many of those good inmates need to stay behind bars for free labor, for the free labor that they provide. So the sheriff, Stephen Prater, blasted the state's justice reinvestment package. It's a series of bills passed in June that could reduce Louisiana's prison population by 10% and save more than $260 million over the next decade by slowly releasing nonviolent offenders. Now, the legislation is set to go in effect on November 1st and would authorize an early release of about 1,400 prisoners across 21 parishes in the state. Now, just 35 prisoners would be immediately released in his parish, but that seems to be too many for that sheriff, who said the state needs them to wash cars. He actually has a video of why he thinks that those prisoners could stay in there, because they're good workers and washing cars and cleaning up and cooking and all of the other stuff. And he had the nerve to have some black officers behind him, which was kind of amazing to me. But again, hey to my people in Louisiana, but this was just a disturbing story. So Marjorie Essman, the executive director of the ACLU in Louisiana, told the Huffington Post that Proctor's desire to keep prisoners purely for their free labor is essentially slavery. That's not me. That's the executive director of the ACLU. Just wanted to put that out there. All right. The State Bar of California, it has recommended that a prosecutor from Orange County's District Attorney's Office be suspended for at least 1 year after finding that she willfully withheld evidence from a defendant during a child abuse case. Now, in a ruling filed this week, the State Bar Judge Yvette Rowland recommended that veteran OCDA, which is the Orange County DA, prosecutor Deputy District Attorney Sandra Lee Nassar be placed on a 3-year probation with at least the first year, including a suspension from practicing law. Now, the prosecutor's failure to timely turn over exculpatory and impeachment evidence is extremely serious misconduct. That's what Judge Rowland wrote in an opinion published this week. Even when facing difficult situations, such as a protection of a witness, prosecutors must operate within the confines of the law. So she is, they're recommending disbarment, which they should. We should see more of these stories. I don't know why we don't in this country, but hey, there you have it. Now, doctors are seeing an increase in head lice during Halloween. I know this is going to be a little creepy story, so I just want to put that out there before I keep going. Now, the crawling bugs travel from items such as wigs and masks on other people's scalp. So trying on costumes could cause an infestation. So when you go into a store and see a costume, just don't throw on the wigs or put them on, is what the folks are warning. So experts are recommended for people to wear shower caps when trying on wigs and masks at the store. They also said people should keep a costume in a sealed bag for 48 hours in order to kill any potential bugs. So there you have it. That's enough of that disgusting story. But if you are going to dress your kids up for Halloween, you might want to get something that you're going to toss out in, so it's just not too disgusting for you. All right. Now, early life exercise cuts a woman's risk of dying from cancer by 13%. Now, researchers from Vanderbilt University in Nashville studied women and how much they exercise in their youth. They found that those who exercise reduce the risk of mortality from diseases. I don't know any more details of this story, but hey, I guess a little exercise can't hurt is the moral of that story. Women who consume more than one sugary drink a day while undergoing IVF, which is in vitro and fertilization, cut their chances of conceiving. So a Harvard study revealed that researchers that they found that drinking one or more sugary beverages can reduce a woman's chances of having a live birth after IVF by 16%. One drink lowers the chance by 12% is what they're saying in that particular study. So, hey, you're listening to Asprey Dead News. I thought I put a little something else into the news story with a little bit of, I don't know what to call that, just a little health news is what we'll say. Now, here's what I want to do. You know, I was watching, you know, with all of the stuff that was going on with the NFL, I never personally really do commentaries, but I figured I will let Keith Olbermann in the Resistance give you a little commentary on what's going on with the NFL. So the NFL is, you know, kind of threatening folks with suspension and some other things if they kneel. But Keith Olbermann did a really great commentary, so I am going to let you hear some of the Resistance. You can catch it on YouTube. Keith Olbermann, The Resistance. Okay.
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. The President of the United States and the Vice President of the United States have planned and executed a cheap, cynical political stunt which disrespected, exploited, and desecrated the flag of this country. It was a stunt so degrading to what this nation means and who Americans are that the president and the vice president should resign in shame. The vice president, Mr. Pence, acted as if he was offended at San Francisco 49ers football players who knelt during the national anthem, left their game, and then tweeted in high and condescending dudgeon about why he left and how he would not dignify the event, and it was all part of a sleazy political stunt. The president, this baboon Trump, then not only took credit for Pence's supposedly spontaneous political tactic, but made Pence out as a liar by boasting that he had asked Pence to leave the stadium, and thereby confirmed that both the action and Pence's tweet were all part of a sleazy political stunt. And an unidentified aide to Pence then revealed that for once, Trump, who claims credit for the actions of others or the outcomes of life so often that you could predict its likelihood as part of a weather report, was in this case not lying. The pool reporter accompanying Pence to the Indianapolis stadium was told to stay in the press van because, to quote a CNN reporter, that the vice president would leave the game early. The unidentified aide might as well have handed out a press release that said Pence and this water buffalo, Trump, had scheduled down to the minute all the parts of a sleazy political stunt. This issue of athletes kneeling or locking arms or raising fists during our national anthem is no longer merely about their correct protest of those police who have lost their way in dealing with the minorities of this country. This issue of athletes protesting is now a smaller part of a very big, very hypocritical, very dangerous plan being undertaken by this jackass Trump, this falsely pious Pence, and their toadies and apologists and jackboots who support them and would turn this democracy into an authoritarian and homogenous state in which they and Pence and Trump begin to be equated with and to symbolize the police, where protesting the police will get you publicly vilified. They would turn this healthily argumentative republic into an authoritarian and homogenous state in which they and Pence and Trump begin to be equated with the national anthem, where failing to stay at attention during the anthem will get you fired from your job. And they would turn this spectacularly diverse and rich bastion of freedom into an authoritarian and homogenous state in which they and Pence and Trump begin to be equated with the flag, and failing to salute the flag will get you beaten in the streets by the kinds of scum who marched again in Virginia Saturday night, the kinds of scum about which Vice President Pence said nothing. This farce was a divisive, craven, cynical desecration of our flag for purely political purposes by people who claimed they were protesting a divisive, craven, cynical desecration of our flag for purely political purposes. The national anthem is a song. It's a song, the music to which was stolen from something the English once sang in their pubs while they got drunk. If it represents anything about America, it represents our right to sing along or to stay silent. But it is a song. It is not America. The flag is a flag. It is a piece of cloth. And many of the flags these frauds, Pence and Trump, want you to stare at as if they dispensed eternal life were manufactured in other countries. If the flag represents anything about America, it represents our right to protest it when those wrapping themselves in it are doing wrong. It is just a flag. It is not America. And most important of all, protest is protest. You are not loyal or patriotic because you stand during an old British drinking song, nor because you salute a flag that might have been made in China. You are loyal or patriotic because you try to make this nation better and to take action on its behalf and to not say love it or leave it, but rather to say love it and improve it. This nation is built on protest. And that is so fundamentally true, so important, and what Pence and Trump did was so cynical and so un-American that their stunt was denounced by the Indiana branch of the American Legion. Since this dictator in training, Trump, began to urinate on our flag and our Constitution, now using the vice president as the proverbial organ grinder used to use the proverbial monkey, opposition to National Football League players protesting has become support. by 51% to 42%. Opposition to how Trump has threatened retaliation is more than two-thirds. But it is not for the majority of this country that these amoral curs, Trump and Pence, pulled their fetid little stunt on Sunday. The message behind the anti-player crowd is the football players are disrespecting the flag. The football players are mostly African American. The African Americans are disrespecting the flag. It is divisive, it is racist, it is cynical, it is everything this country has fought for 241 years to not become. And it stops here. Because the people disrespecting the flag are not the athletes who see a profound and painful and life and death problem and seek by symbolism to stop it and fix it and heal it. The people disrespecting our flag are Donald Trump and Mike Pence and their clan of white supremacists who see their chance to whip up unthinking, blind, saluting white robots into believing the flag is theirs and theirs alone. And this kind of race baiting, Donald Trump's kind of race baiting, will not be permitted in our country. We have been through this, and we will not let a hateful, cynical, stupid demagogue like Donald Trump drag us back into that cave of prejudice. The flag will stay. The anthem will stay. The right to protest them both, the player's right, my right, your right, will stay. Donald Trump and this little clown Mike Pence, they will go. Resist. Remove. Peace.
All right, welcome back to the show. Hey, you know, I had to give it up for Keith Olbermann. I had to let that run. Heard him talk about it earlier and want you to check it out yourself. Check out his channel on YouTube, The Resistance, Keith Olbermann. You know, I get a lot of insight from there and enjoyed him when he was on MSNBC. It seems kind of sad and shameful that he's not on there still, but it just tells you how conservative our news is right now and how it's been, I guess, from day one. So getting Keith Olbermann was a major coup when Comcast bought NBC. But Keith Olbermann is right on point. He needs to be back on TV, back on top. So, you know, I do have some courthouse news I could do, but I am going to bring in the commish because I know she's going to want to talk about Keith Olbermann. So, hey, commish, how are you?
I miss him so much.
Hey.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, after
watch Olbermann every night and sometimes twice.
Yes.
And I'm really, really sorry that he's no longer on the regular air. But guess what? I got YouTube. So thank
you. There
you
go.
Yeah, thank you so much for playing that. I could barely sit down as I was listening to him, and he's so right on point with all of it. And I, you know, Keith, thank you, thank you, thank you.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Because I'm gonna every now and then I'll have some, and I'll think, oh, you know what? I should throw some Keith Olbermann on. I'm gonna play him as a regular commentary. You know, as a regular commentary. Just to go to his YouTube channel because,
yeah,
although he gets millions of people who watches his stuff, he, again, our news will not, mainstream media will not put that guy back on TV. Out of all of the stations that we have on cable, you would think that one of those cable networks would say, let's bring back Keith. He's going to bring back ratings. He's going to get us some money. Do you think they would say that? But that's
well,
not what the world that we live in.
That's not the world that you live in, that we live in, sorry. And, yeah, you think that people would say that, and they would also say, you know what, we're getting our butt asses whipped on the football field. Let's go get
right.
That brother that Joe can play football.
Right.
Nah, yeah. Rather lose.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me, I can't remember which comedian, I hate to not, you know, kind of as a media thing, not the source who made the statement, but it was somebody who said, you know what, Well, black people just take a knee in the NFL, and as Jerry Jones tries to threaten people, let's just see how this is going to work out. Let's just watch how it work out. Because if you want to act as if they have to do something, they can all call in sick. It is technically a job.
It is a job.
Yep. So, you know, I always think about that to say sometimes somebody needs to speak up. And I'm, you know, again, I am waiting for NBA season because those brothers don't play on the NBA. So I like the fact that even getting that guy Dallin Sterling out, they wasn't playing. When they got locked out, they wasn't playing. So the NBA union is a whole different ball of wax. Those guys are not playing.
I mean, I don't know, the air might not be the time to talk about this, so I'll talk to you more about it offline, but I need a really good artist. I wish I were that, but mm-hmm. I'm not a good artist, but I have been, I have a lot of things that need to be drawn, and mm-hmm. I need an artist for part of my own commentaries. I just have so many visions that I really need to get on paper. So
relation
to this very topic. So if you can help me out with that, or anybody listening is a really good artist, hit up Jerome.
You can hit me up. I will pass that on. You know, you can send to news@solarsyracuse.com. For those who know me, you can actually call me. But if not... just send us an email.
Yeah, kind of cartoon. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
For
like the stuff, the caricatures and that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And actually, I may be able to help you with that off the air. But if we know any, just
thank you.
I'll see what I can do. You know, I haven't done this week in court in a while, so I'll kind of run past the few. The American Civil Liberties Union has challenged a Kansas law that prohibits the state from hiring contractors who boycott Israel. They call it a violation of the First Amendment. Yes. Now, the U.S. just pulled out of the UN's cultural whatever group that was because Israel didn't like that Palestine was there. So the U.S. pulled out of it. And now, apparently, Kansas passed a law that prohibits states from hiring contractors who boycott Israel. Do you have to, like, I thought that was what freedoms were in this country, is that you can do business with whoever you want to. I didn't know countries actually applied. But anyway, they're in court, the Civil Liberties Union. Charlottesville, Virginia is the state where the white nationalist rally happened this summer, right? And a group of local businessmen sued nearly a dozen white nationalist associations and their leaders, claiming that they formed an unlawful paramilitary unit that turned the college town into a combat zone, is what they're saying. So over a dozen businessmen joined the city in a complaint filed Thursday in Charlottesville's City Circuit Court. The defendants includes people don't ever hear this, so this is why I'm doing this part of the news. Lightfoot Militia Group from Pennsylvania, New York, and Virginia. It's called Lightfoot Militia.
Okay.
They're from Pennsylvania, New York, and Virginia, as well as the American Freedom Keepers, the American Warrior Revolution, Redneck Revolt, the League of the South, the National Socialist Movement, and specific individuals, including the Unite the Right rally organizer, Jason Kessler. Now, the reason I named them is because every time somebody black protests, Black Lives Matter, Occupy Wall Street, they name them as like a hate group. You have all of these white nationalist militia groups, and
nobody's ever heard
of them.
Never heard of
their names. Yep. So the organizations in large groups donning camouflage, supporting matching uniforms and weaponry, and with a command structure to coordinate their actions. The city alleges that white nationalists violate the Virginia Constitution, which bars paramilitary units. And so they are taking all of them to court. So let's see if they have attorneys on hand. But mind you, they were a part of the group, and the one girl was killed. So we'll see how this goes about them identifying themselves today. Also in court, a labor union on Tuesday claimed that the Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones threatened to punish the players who knelt during the protest during their national anthem, violated National Labor Relations Act. So Local 100 of the United Labor Union filed a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board in Fort Worth 2 days after Jerry Jones told reporters, you know, after their 31-35 loss to Green Bay, that we will not disrespect the flag. So Jones is the first NFL owner to explicitly threaten discipline for anybody who kneels. So the union says the employers are banned from threatening workers for concert activity. So the National Labor Relations Bureau or board will have an agent contact the union and the Dallas Cowboys to investigate the allegations, possibly resulting into filing a formal case to be tried before an administrative judge. So I'm glad the union didn't have to do it and the league didn't have to step up, that the labor enforcement, because, again, they are employees. So Local 100 in Dallas-Fort Worth is now suing them. Jerry Jones, drag his butt in the court.
So they're trying to let them know that they're not slaves, huh?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the goal. Just because somebody worked for you, you can't tell them, hey, when you're on lunch, you can't go to the bathroom. Like, you don't get break. You can't breathe in between doing your job. That's kind of
the thing. You can't speak either. You can't think.
Yeah.
While you're on my field. While you're in my cotton field, in my kitchen.
You can't boycott candy in the vending machine. If I own the company and I tell you you have to get that candy bar, you're like, I don't like those jelly beans. And they'll be like, no, nope. You're going to have to have those.
With them anyway, yeah.
Yeah. I know this has been in the news a lot, and I have never talked about this on the show, but, you know, for what happened in Vegas, you know, three people who attended that country music festival where Bullwin, nearly 558 people were killed, nearly 500, I'd say 59 because they don't like including the guy who committed suicide, but 59 people were killed on October 1st. Three people have already started a class action suit against the Bump Stock, the maker of the Bump Stock, who, where he attached it to, his rifle to make a semi-automatic rifle fire at the same rate as automatic. So the maker of the device, the Bump Stop device, Slide Fair Solutions in Moran, Texas, I don't know how to say that, and other unidentified manufacturers are named. And, you know, Slide Fire grossed about $10 million from the sale of those Bump Stocks in 2010 and sold Bump Stock models between $100 and $400. That's according to the lawsuit. And the company has suspended the sales of the device through their websites. And they disabled a feature that allows buyers to find local dealers that have them through their website. Uh-huh. And also, with them being sued, a 21-year-old college student, Paige Gasper of California, she's the first person to sue for that. She's suing Mandalay Bay, the festival venue. She's suing the Bump Stop maker, the same folks. She's named MGM, who's the subsidiary is Mandalay Bay. Live Nation, their entity, One Nation Group, who actually put on the concert. So all the, I was wondering when this was going to happen. But the lawsuit says that her damages exceeded $15,000, but her attorney said that it's too early to determine the actual amount. But her mother said to the news that it's not about the money. We're about forcing change and improved safety. Oh, it's Vegas. She's going for the money. Like, I don't know. Whatever to all of this.
And I don't blame
her. I'm not saying that. Yeah, I don't blame her either. I'm just saying, you know, if it was anyplace else, people would be trying to sell, you know. And again, I didn't hear the news say maybe it's that crazy country music. You know, if that was at a rap concert.
Oh, if it had been rap, forget about it.
It would have been a rap. Yes, it would have.
They'd have been suing the artist. Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah, the artist would have been sued too.
They'd probably arrested Little John if it was him.
Okay. Yeah, he would have definitely gone. All of them.
About it.
Yep.
Didn't they put me in jail? That's over. Cursing.
Say it again.
Or not. Didn't they put 50 in jail not long ago for cursing or not putting, saying something foul or something?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I don't know, but they're quick to do it. So being that country singer ran his butt off the stage, I'm thinking they're not going to sue him. But they should have. Like, because what they do is they sue everybody. But it was a festival, so I guess you would have to sue all the artists. But usually that doesn't happen in this country. They just sue everybody until everybody else drops off.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually how that goes. Now, an anti-apartheid activist who died in 1991 was tortured and killed by South African police. The court said today in a landmark decision, police are now responsible for that guy's death in 71. This is South Africa. Like, how long do you have to wait to do a police investigation? I shouldn't even ask that. The United States, we just don't do them. So this is from a 1971 case. The court just ruled that it was the South. He was tortured and killed by the police, and they just ruled that the police was responsible for his death.
Does he have any ancestors?
Yeah, it was 71, hopefully. Now, the landmark decision that raised hopes for dozens of similar cases to now be investigated, but apparently they stopped at some point investigating cases that police had involvement in. You know, two sheriff deputies in San Antonio will face civil trials for excessive force claims from a 2015 shooting of an unarmed, shirtless man who had his hands up. So since a bystander filmed it and it went viral, that now these two police will face civil trial, face a civil trial. Of course, they won't be charged criminally. Once again, same thing. All right, now a corporate entity that owns the intellectual properties of Muhammad Ali claims in a federal lawsuit that Fox, without permission, used the boxing legend's likeness to in a promotional video that aired immediately before last season's Super Bowl. So Muhammad Ali Enterprises, LLC, sued Fox Broadcasting Company in Chicago in federal court this week, alleging false endorsements and violation of Illinois' Right of Privacy Act. And the MAE, the Muhammad Ali Enterprise, is seeking $30 million plus punitive damage. Now, they said that Fox never asked or received permission to use Ali's image or name or image or implied his endorsement. That was just before the Super Bowl. Now, the $30 million actually comes from they did a three-minute video with Ali in it, and apparently it was about $10,000 a minute is what they were charging for. I'm sorry, $10 million a minute that they were charging advertisers. So they said, hey, you're going to use our thing for 3 minutes? That's $30 million. So there you have it. Send them a bill.
Okay.
So they're seeking that and punitive damage. So, you know, that's what we have in court this week. You know, not here. Kathleen, I'm sure we missed a lot of topics and a lot of subjects. What did you have on the list that I might have missed today?
Well.
Or did you have anything? Let me know.
Yeah, I did. I had a couple things. I was trying to think of where to start. I'm sure. Did you already talk about the Virgin Islands? Because I know I joined a little late.
No, I did not talk about the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Okay. So first, I think when we first had the who hit first? Jose, right?
Yes. Then Maria. Harvey.
And then
wait.
Harvey
didn't hit them, right?
The Virgin. I thought it was Jose that hit them.
It was Jose and then Maria. Yes.
Jose and then Maria came in and cleaned up what Jose didn't take down.
Mm-hmm.
And initially we heard a lot about the Virgin Islands. I want to say that Puerto Rico got taken out first because, was it Puerto Rico?
I think a lot of people from the Virgin Islands went to Puerto Rico because Jose didn't do as much damage. And then when Maria came in, then they got there.
Right.
Yes.
Right. But I remember initially when the first hurricane that hit the Virgin Islands kind of wiped out St. Thomas and St. John, because the VI was sending everybody from St. Thomas and St. John over to St. Croix to the hospital for those who needed hospital care. And then Maria came right back and knocked out the only hospital on the islands, which was in St. Croix. So now they didn't have a hospital facility on the Virgin Islands that
right.
was fully operable, right? And then, you know, of course, there was no water, there all kinds of problems. And now, similarly situated, we have Puerto Rico. And then, Puerto Rico was also hit twice, and there's a tremendous amount of outcry from Puerto Rico. It sounded like the Virgin Islands was going to start to get some help. Then they had the outcry from Puerto Rico and the mayor and the governor and so forth, and they were talking about how it was taking so ridiculously long for any aid to get to Puerto Rico. And the next thing we know, all we hear about is Puerto Rico. And of course, we want Puerto Rico to get the aid that they need. And albeit the aid to Puerto Rico has been very slow, but the only thing we hear about is the fact that the aid to Puerto Rico is very slow and the horrible things that are not being addressed in Puerto Rico so that they can get help. And we had J-Lo getting support to send money over there and everything. And then suddenly, it's like there is no Virgin Islands.
Right.
I don't hear anything about aid to the VI. And the humongous, miraculous, magical-looking ocean liner hospital that was dispatched to Puerto Rico to service the hospital. I forget what it was called. What's it called, Rome?
I can't remember.
I'll look it up.
Yeah,
huh?
I said it starts with a C, but I can't remember.
Right, and she said that the hospital holds 800,000 patients, I believe she said, and it's got some of the finest medical professionals on board, prepared, ready and willing, eager to treat people who are sick.
Yes.
In addition, that the floating hospital can also purify water. So the water that is, yes, it can filter the water and provide pure water. And she said, as of yesterday, this hospital that can hold and treat 800,000 patients had seven patients on board, and people in Puerto Rico were dying from Listeriosis.
And listeria, Mm-hmm.
Right, that was killing people because they had no access to clean water, and they were instead subject to using the water that had been contaminated by the urine from wild animals or other bacteria and so forth. And they, and she also said, which was so profound, that this bacterial infection is completely treatable.
Right.
It's not like the flesh-eating bacteria that once you get it, oh my God, or Ebola or whatever, which is also treatable. But it's not like that. Like she, I think she said something as simple as penicillin and doxycycline can treat this disease, but that people in Puerto Rico are dying from it. So that's Puerto Rico. At least the floating hospital is there. Now they got to figure out how to get people on it. But the Virgin Islands, I don't even know how many
right.
people have been impacted or how many fatalities are there or if they have any water or anything else. If I, as Stacey Plaskett, Congresswoman Plaskett, was on several news outlets. She was on Lawrence O'Donnell and a few other news outlets, and she did have some meeting with the governor of New York, Cuomo. I saw a few things, and then now I don't even see her on television. So I'm really concerned. I signed a petition today. If you all can go on and find it, it was by Karen Clements for Don't Forget About the Virgin Islands. When I signed it, there were only two. I was the second signature. But
where is it again?
I'll send it to you. I received it in my email today from Karen Clements. It's a petition that says don't forget about the Virgin Islands, the U.S.
Okay.
Virgin Islands. So, and remember now, the Virgin Islands, those are folks that are, Caribbean descent. So those are black people primarily. The
right.
native U.S. Virgin Islanders are black folks. And I just don't know what else to say.
Yeah, and I saw Stacey on TV today, and I'm still hopeful that she, I can't remember who interviewed her. I can't remember if it was on one of the earlier news shows, but you know she's still saying, "Yep, we are getting some services, but you have to do better." And with the amount of money and resources that they're allocating for the people in the Virgin Islands because they actually need help. And so you have to remember they're U.S. citizens. And,
yeah.
you know, we can't just think about it as, oh, they're people who live on the island kind of thing. They're U.S. territory. They're
right.
U.S. citizens. And,
yes.
You know, and I'm actually, I have to say this as a New York State resident, that I don't think it even – I don't think I felt even a tinge like any kind of anxiety about the governor or the mayor of New York City providing services to either one, Puerto Rico and New York and the Virgin Islands. I don't care that my tax money goes to save them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why people do that in the country when they're like, oh, that's not us, and we live in Texas, and so that doesn't bother.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, not yeah. Texas in particular, because they need help. So, you know, I have family there. So I don't mind federal government giving Texas, anybody who has disaster. But I guarantee you, for the wildfires, news is going to suck the air out of everything that's going on during the disaster recovery on the islands, and we need to keep focus over there as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So for New York State, I've seen, you know, even – the water that I tell everyone to drink, Crystal Geyser, that's pulled out of New York State, I've seen pallets upon pallets that they sent down there. So I'm like, even the bottlers here are actually sending relief down there. So I'm glad that even on the corporate side, as well as our government, is helping people on the island. But it's sad that the federal government, who's equipped to do this stuff, is not doing jack. I mean, if there was a tsunami in another country, I think someone put a graphic up saying that when Haiti had an earthquake, I think President Obama sent 33,000 troops there.
Yeah.
33,000. This nut, 5,000 at most, if that many.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then the other thing, too, about it, and this is always the case that we hear about the aid, you know, people are sending money, people are sending supplies, people are doing what they can, But it's the actual distribution of the resources and supplies once they get there to the people. So even when Katrina happened, if you recall, they said they had so many trailers parked up in lots with nobody living in them. So the resources end up getting there, and then the lack of leadership or organization or whatever, politics, prevents oftentimes the distribution of these resources from getting to the people or the people who really need it. So,
And unfortunately, this administration is, they don't have any leadership. That's the unfortunate thing.
Yeah.
So if they provide the resources to the people, maybe those guys on the ground can provide the leadership, but it's unfortunate that FEMA doesn't do it. And like they said, even in Puerto Rico, they're just signing people up. Like, if you're sending people to sign people up, you're doing a bad job. You know what I mean? You don't do a bunch of paperwork with such a devastating disaster. You know, you're like, what's your name, Social Security? Now, it's like calling, you know what it reminds me of? It's like calling 911. And they're like, now, is this your home or your cell number?
Yeah,
it's like, will you get somebody over here now?
Is that a gunshot there in the background? Well, did it go east or west?
I can't tell you how many times I've heard, like, you know, a news story where somebody calls 911 and they ask them a bunch of ridiculous questions. And you normally tell people, if you call 911, tell them what you want to tell them and hang up the phone. They have to send somebody out there to see what it is. But if you're talking too much, they make a judgment whether they should send somebody or not. But if they're immediately disconnected, they have to send out emergency.
Oh,
they don't know what
happened. I didn't know that. That's really a good point.
You talk to someone at 911 too long, and they'll just go, well, it just didn't seem like it was as bad as I thought it was. They start making judgments.
Right.
Now, they get someone here immediately. This is what's going on. This is what you should be looking at. It's a fire. It's what? And then hang up the phone. Your phone will ring initially. Like, they're going to call back, but they're going to dispatch somebody because you made the call.
Yeah.
They can't go on a record of not responding when the phone's disconnected.
That's good. That's good. Thank you.
Yeah, don't tell nobody.
No, I won't. I'll keep that one.
No, I'm just saying, we're doing live radio. Hey, everyone on the line, you can actually do that. We're in overtime, so we're not broadcasting live. They'll just catch this mainly if you're not already dialed in. They're going to catch this in archives. So,
right.
Just wanted to tell them. Wanted to make sure.
The other thing that you can do, too, and you don't have to tell anybody this one either, the other thing you can do, too, is if you get somebody who is telling you, well, look, you know, we can't say anybody, we can't do anything about that one. You need to call 311 or 611 or whatever other number they give you to call. Hang up and call back and get somebody with some sense. I've had to do that before. Hang up and call back.
You had to do what?
I've had to do that before. It's like, okay, this person clearly should lose his job, but I don't have time for that right now. Hang up and dial 911 again. You will not get the same person.
Exactly. It's like you need to rotate through your 911 call. Man. All right. Now, I know there was another story that we missed. I can't remember what that one was. You said you had two.
That one was one. The U.S. Virgin Islands was one. And then the other one, let me see. I don't know what I want with that story. Did you talk about Cam?
About Cam Newton and his,
Oh, my gosh.
Carolina Panthers quarterback. He what?
Go ahead. Go with Cam, because then I
okay. So Carolina Panthers quarterback doing a press conference, a female a question about a route. Like, a route is just the route that a player has to run. So a wide receiver has to run a route, and she questioned a route that someone ran during the game, and Cam Newton laughed and said, it's just funny that a female would ask about a route. And he kind of laughed about it a couple of times. And it obviously became a problem when it got to mainstream media with, I shouldn't say mainstream media, but she was a white female, obviously. I should have played black or white while I'm doing the story. And so, you know, people are getting offended with Cam Newton actually saying that he thought it was funny that she would ask him about a route. Now, this same reporter has been reprimanded about making racist statements on her social media. So she's a local reporter, so I'm sure Cam kind of knows that too. She has apologized for the racist statements that she's made, but putting all that in the context, I think she's, you know, we're going through this whole victimizing, like that Cam is like the mean black guy who's picking on the little European female. So there you have it. Take the floor. I just had to put that in some kind of context.
So without having the background of the reporter herself, his response to, you know, not knowing who, what woman he's talking to, his response was appalling. It just really was. It was almost like, you know, I was trying to figure out, I was like, wait a minute, is he making this a, like, lewd comment or what? You know, the way he just said it was like, oh, it's just, like, really funny to hear a female talking about routes. You know, it just was like, ew. It was off.
Yeah. I knew you would take that stand.
He needs a PR person. Yeah, that was off. And so I don't, you know, whatever her situation is, you know, we could deal with that. But his response to her, you know, again, not knowing the woman, but imagining that being me sitting there listening to him the way he was talking to her, it was off. It was off.
I have a tendency, okay, I know I'm about to say this and probably get cursed out, get a flag on this one. But he does need a PR person, and he's young. And just like other coaches have said, you know, just like coaches have said, we get dumb questions from reporters all the time. We don't laugh at them, call them dumb. Like, we just, you don't do it. So even though, although, you know, that could be surprising to him, he should have kept his, he should have let that be his inside voice. Because that could have just been surprising to him. Like, you would never expect, think about it just numerically, you know, from Pop Warner through high school, that, you know, I played football, not a lot of football, but I did play football in school. And to think somebody saw a playbook and talked about a route, like, I would never even talk about a route to some, to anybody. And I know a few professional quarterbacks. I don't think I've ever, like, said in this game, hey, you know what, let me be specific about the route that that person ran, kind of thing. I just wouldn't do it. And so it could have conceivably caught him off guard, but at the same time, he was acting like he was in the park. He was at his job. He shouldn't have laughed at her. And he shouldn't have.
Like a construction worker, but the response could also be, so if you don't expect to hear anybody ask you about a route, then the response is, hey, you know, it's kind of, it's interesting to have a reporter ask me a question about a route. I never had that question before, but.
Yeah, he should have said it about anybody, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think anybody's ever asked about, I have never seen, again, professional, college, whatever, and I've been in a lot of press conferences, I've never heard a reporter ask about a specific route that somebody ran.
And somebody maybe she did look that up somewhere and came up with it. But even still, like, how many stupid questions did people ask President Obama? You know what I mean?
A lot.
And we don't have one clip. We don't have not one clip that we could play back where he said,
he's an extremely grown person. Like, we can't really compare him to people who are not. We could say, we can use somebody like, use somebody like Michael Jordan or somebody. Like, he could have been off, like, as an athlete. You know, but I don't think Michael Jordan has – I mean, he has been rude in some of his press conference.
Kareem?
But, yes.
No.
Michael Jordan is an arrogant little whatever. I forgot that we're on the air. Jordan can be a little arrogant little jerk. And he had been when he was in that's one of the things that makes an athlete a good athlete, though. You know what I mean? Being really competitive and testosterone, that kind of thing. Like, that's a part of the DNA of people who really accomplish a lot. Like, you have to believe in yourself and have confidence. Some of them get to they misappropriate that and they become arrogant little jerks. So sometimes when you see athletes who are really nice guys, just understand they are really the exception to the rule. Because from being spoiled when you're good, can also work the same way of being celebrated when nobody ever celebrated you before. So you can have arrogance, or you could be really resentful of everybody else who doubted. Like, there's personality quirks, and Michael Jordan had a bad personality quirk. Whereas you take someone like Stephen Curry, who's actually probably a really good person. LeBron James. You know, I mean, he probably curse you out, but he actually can contain his emotion, whereas some other people are just, you know, they do have personality defects. So I won't overly, you know, compound any kind of damage that he's done, but I really don't think that I don't think that it's that bad. I mean, I know I'm not a woman, so technically, I can't tell you how to feel about what he did or what he said, but from the inside out, that was him being immature to me. More than it was about him attacking her gender. I don't think it was like that. I think he was just being immature. I wouldn't say that he has women problems because of it.
Oh boy!
You know what I mean? So
we can move on.
Yeah. Okay. Since you're disagreeing with me on that one, okay.
So let's talk about somebody who does have women problems. How about Harvey Weinstein?
Oh gosh. All righty.
Did you talk about him? Did you talk about him?
No. Right. Well, I mentioned Harvey Weinstein, and you know, I can't remember her name. She played in Charmed. Well, anyways, there was one person who got her Twitter blocked because of she mentioned Harvey Weinstein, and Rose McGowan, who was on Charmed. She called Ben Affleck. She called Harvey Weinstein a rapist, and she called her brother a POS, a piece of stuff, and she called Ben Affleck. She was telling Ben Affleck to F off because Ben Affleck apologized for – she dated Ben Affleck when she told him what Harvey Weinstein did to her, and then he came out and acted like he didn't know that Harvey Weinstein was like that. So she said F off to Ben Affleck, but she used to date him, and she's saying he knew. So everybody in Hollywood is turning against him when they knew – a lot of people knew what he was doing, and, you know, so she went off on him. So Rose McGowan had her Twitter account suspended, and then they – you know, Twitter came out and said they suspended her account because she published a private phone number. I don't know if they called it to figure out that it was private or something, but anywho, then they actually lifted her suspension on it. But yeah, that's the only thing I said about Harvey Weinstein.
Okay.
And I do not, I'm sorry to even bring this up because this is a black on black crime I'm about to commit, but I'm only committing this crime because I am tired of people mentioning Cosby when they mention him. He is more like Hugh Hefner more than he is Cosby. Because technically, if you're pimping like that, and I know I talked about Bill, Hugh Hefner when he passed, I did a story last show about this woman who writes for The Guardian. She called him a pimp. And, of course, you know, Hugh Hefner tried to sue her. But she said, what do you call a man who feeds women to other men and they pay him for it? like, she called him a pimp. She was like, tell me the definition. So she said she was looking forward to going to court, but they wouldn't take her to court because they wanted to sue her for calling him a pimp. But he was a pimp. So pimp Hugh Hefner died. So, anywho, Hollywood pimp Hugh Hefner and this Harvey Weinstein, who's a pig, pig and pimp, kind of in the same vein. Yeah. It's amazing to me that people are falling out over the fact that, I have to tell you, actually, I like his disposition. He's like, I'm going to get help. Like, I'm like, ain't nothing wrong with you.
In Germany, though.
Is that where he's going?
Yes.
Well, because, you know, that's where, yeah, that's where Trump's roots are. So apparently he'll come back a little like Trump, a little more like Trump. And Trump said that it was a friend of his, but he denounced him. Of course. That was my point. Of course he's a friend of yours. Interesting that, you know, pigs would be really good friends. Like, anyway. So it was interesting watching that.
Did call him a pig, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did. Well, right, because he's the one who's grabbing women by the crotch. Like, that is his thing. And then, you know, the guy who was arrested for having those underage kids, like, he would take his yacht out in international waters and they would have underage girls on there. When they took him to court, in his phone book, of course, he had Donald Trump's name in there and Bill Clinton because those guys used to attend those parties. Pig. I'm just saying that came out in court. So say what you want about pigs knowing each other. And actually, he's a friend of Bill Clinton's, isn't he? Like, they were actually pretty close. Just to put that out there. Yeah.
So, okay, so last thing, because I know it's late and, would like to know. I don't know if you covered this story because I have been, I've been away for a couple weeks.
Okay.
But did you ever cover R. Kelly and this chick that? R. Kelly and this woman who was living with him, and her parents were having a fit that she wouldn't get in touch with them and so forth, and she was. They were saying that she was held hostage at his home. Did you cover that story?
No, but I think we're going to have to do a black-on-black crime and talk about R. Kelly because I'm going to have to commit way too many.
And I didn't. I just wanted to say I didn't bring him up after the boat story intentionally.
Okay. That was just one of the stories that we missed. Okay.
I'm not trying to relate it to anything in case you think I did. And if you have any complaints, send it to Jerome.
That's why you're getting the outro music on that one. Because technically, I should have started it before you even started that. Because the commissioner commits the black-on-black crime. And I don't know what to say. Hey,
I think I'm going to take a knee.
Hey, I'm going to tell you this. When the law breaks the law, there's chaos. So, you know, I am not going to put it back in the bag after this one. You know, so yeah. We'll have to play this out when we do black on black crime.
Edit this one,
Mom,
please.
Edit what?
I said, please edit this show before you load it.
I'm not ending this show. But I will do this one last. I will have to leave the listeners with this one last news story. Okay, so in Moscow, this woman, Natalia, well, she's from Moscow. She was in Dominican Republic last week. She was filming herself topless. She was hanging out of a car, Girls Gone Wild stuff. And she just had her head out the window, smashed her head, and she died. Alrighty. Yeah. Hey, it's graphic, but the point is that the world is not yours like that. She just kind of stuck her head out a window, being carefree, and there's an actual videotape of that happening. I don't want to see it, and I didn't watch it, but yeah. I just tried to take that little R. Kelly thing out of there. All right, did that work out? You another bad visual. Also, an overweight farm worker this week killed 79 piglets by belly flopping out of them. He got jailed for 15 months along with his friend who filmed it in Spain.
Oh.
He was a farm worker. And I'm just trying to take that R. Kelly out your head. And those two should have done it. I mean, I can give you one more. Did that do it?
No, go ahead. I'm not
one more?
Trying to get R. Kelly out my head, but go for it.
I tried, people. I tried. She is just not going for it. Okay, well, so you know, we're going to fire black on black crime. We're going to have to actually talk about this one. On that note, yeah, it is time. So we'll have to do that. I want to thank you for listening to S3Net News. Say hey to everyone out there. Thanks for joining us. We're going to be back again next week, and the commiss probably will be back to her regulating self of the show. But today, the show is just going to have to go off. Yeah. We'll have to think about editing.
I was in the closet.
This has to be the first show that I have to edit because of you. Like, this will be it. So I might have to leave this one out here.
All right.
Well, on that note, I will see you again next week. Later, commission. All right.
Good night.
Good night.